Let's sing first and fourth verses of 227.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seems hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
And 228 we'll sing after the lesson presented today. These songs this morning have been about the love of the Lord and the way that we have served Him as we go forth from day to day. And one of the great things that we do in regard to the service of the Lord's way is to express from time to time a thankfulness for what others have done for us. And we have a nice thank you card here today to my church family from Jane Moore. And she notes on this thing this way: it's sometimes easy to forget that there are nice people out there doing nice things for others. Thanks for being such a special reminder. Thanks for the prayers, food, calls, and visits, and loving during my surgery and recovery. Love you all, Jane Moore. We put this on the bulletin board, but at the same time, I wanted to wait till this point in time because this is the sermon today about the idea of our serving the cause of the Lord as He would have us to do. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, we read in regard to the God of heaven and how that we serve Him in this way of life. It is noted, "Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, through the power that worketh within us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." In this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we read that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. When we pray to the Lord, believing that the Lord will do a certain favor in our lives, a certain hope in our lives, a certain way for us, we may receive that in regard to the way that we think that we will, and we may receive it in regard to the way that's better than what we thought we would receive. Because the idea is to be people who serve us and help us in this way, and they know better what to do to serve us and help us than we do ourselves. And in regard to this matter, as Miss Jane will tell you in this regard, Sister Moore will say, a doctor saw something in that growth that was just not right and would be a problem later on in life, and much deeper than it would be to remove now and get it gone, get it away from her. And that is a wonderful way to go in life. Someone who knows that sort of thing. When we are people who find ourselves in God's Word, yielding glory to God, putting light upon the Lord by the church throughout all ages, world without end. It is the case that He wants that glory to be shared with Him by way of the church, the body of Christ, that He sent His Son to set forth. When Jesus came to this earth and talked about this matter in Matthew chapter 16, He talked to Simon Peter and the apostles about this matter, and He said this in this regard. He said, I will do this work, and the gates of Hades, He used the word Hades for that place of the dead, even though I die, this will not stop my church from being built. It'll be my church, it'll be my way, and my way of life that I'll do. And no matter what takes place, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The church is in existence today because the Lord had planned for it to be and wanted it to be. And because there are brethren who have been faithful to that end to teach you and me, teach our parents and teach our grandparents as we went along life's highway, how that the Lord will work with us as we glorify Him in the church throughout all ages, world without end. It's not sometimes in the church, and most of the time out of the church. Sometimes in relationship to Him, and sometimes mostly out of relationship with Him. That's not the idea. It is that we're to be people who serve the Lord in such a way that it is in the church that we lend glory upon the Lord. My dad taught me that that word glory just means to put the light upon something. When you glorify it, you put light upon it. You can see it better. And as a result of being in a dark house, we could often go to a place that would need a light. And we had flashlights all over our house. I think Miss Jane can attest to the fact that we had flashlights in bedrooms and in kitchen rooms and in bathrooms and in living rooms. We had those lights everywhere. But the light put upon something would give you sensation of where it is, what it is, and how to deal with it in a safer way. Put a light upon it. And God says in this regard, He wants to have light put upon Him in the church throughout all ages, world without end. He wants to be lit up by way of our deeds of life, our mentioning Him, our naming Him, our prayers toward Him, our appreciation of Him. We want to have that to be done. We want to light the path to God. We want to do that. And when His Son came to this earth, He said, though I go through the gates of Hades, the place of the dead, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. It is the case that today we find the church and we find the opportunity to be a part of it. We're part of it. We're part of the life, and we separated sometimes, and difficulties came about so that we could cross over bottoms and hills and everything and get to a building, that there were churches that were built in regard to where a lot of the family members were, and they were set up in a certain area that was away from another congregation. But that congregation was close enough by that during the special time of a gospel meeting going on, teaching that was going on, that we could make a trip over that way. Miss Jane well remembers her grandparents going away and working during the course of the day and coming in, getting a good bath, rest up, eat a bite, and in the car we'd go and go to a gospel meeting there in Missouri. Why was that so important? Why was that so special to them? They wanted to give light to the Lord. They wanted to give light to the Lord, an understanding that they had within their heart, within their minds. They wanted to have that understanding. And as a result, they would be people who would be ready to go wherever that light was being shined, wherever that light was being talked about, wherever that light was being used, they wanted to be people who were there. They were part of it. Of course, when they met up with Mr. William, and Mr. William was special to them in all their ways, he loved that light too. And he came from West Virginia. And the congregation there in West Virginia, in his city, had a lot of people. But out in the country, it also had a lot of people that lived in that particular area. And they did that sort of thing. They met together. They talked about the Bible. They spoke about the Scripture. When my mom and dad were people who went to out to the country there, we had preachers to come and teach the Bible. And there were always people who were opening their Bible out there in the general congregation meeting house. They were opening their Bible. They were seeing that verse in Ephesians chapter 3 says in their Bible what it said from the preacher's Bible. And they were looking at it. And they were wanting to be sure that they could be. We had various preachers who came there from time to time that did not speak what was from the Scripture. They did not say that that was from the Scripture. They said it was, but it was not there to illustrate it. They concerned themselves with that. They asked questions about it. They raised their hand and they would probe a question in regard to why it was the case that this does not read that way in the Scripture here. And they would get explanations be done. They would be sure that they could, because they wanted to be people who glorify God in their way of life, in their worship of life. The worship of God was to be done in a spiritual way, and a spiritual way to be done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reference is made to that work of the God of heaven and his teaching about it. Know it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Notice that Paul is saying, I talked to you, I gave you this information, this is the way of the Lord that I taught, and this is the way of the Lord that I wanted to do. And he says there in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood, that ye do this, as ye often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Can you think about doing an act of worship? Being at a church house, but that bread means nothing to you. That bread is consumed by you and means nothing to you. That fruit of the vine means nothing to you. That grape juice means nothing at all. It does not reflect upon the blood of Christ. It does not reflect back to that day and that time. And that we're eating and drinking damnation to our souls. We're doing that, but we're not glorifying God in doing that. We're not giving credit to the Lord for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It is noted as he goes along here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body," not really remembering the Lord's body, discern. Not really thinking about what that blood meant, what that body meant, what that blood meant at all. And he says in this regard, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. And that which you should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, but come together unto condemnation, and not come together to condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Paul is writing to the brethren in Corinth, telling them that there are some among them that no doubt are partaking of the Lord's Supper without a remembrance of the body and the blood of Christ. I repeat, without a remembrance of the body and blood of Christ. They're eating and drinking condemnation to their souls. They're not representing their remembrance, and they're not examining themselves like they should. On down the stream of time, do we examine ourselves like we should? Do we think about the body and the blood of Christ in that regard as the Lord's Supper is passed? We should. We certainly should. Because if any man hungered, let him eat at home. That you come together not under condemnation. It's not for the purpose of satisfying our physical hunger. It's for the purpose of remembering the body and the blood of Christ. Think about the singing that we do. In Ephesians chapter 5 and down at verse 19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wives, he says, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. When we find ourselves being people who speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and make melody in our heart to the Lord, we're singing right. But when we do not do that, look what he says here in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That word for discernment, understanding. Discerning what the will of the Lord is. That's our purpose of gathering together. To hear message be presented, but to look in our Bible and see that that is the message that really is from God Himself. It's not from the man in the pulpit. It's not from the teacher in the class. It's from God Himself. And as we participate in that, we find ourselves looking at this matter, being not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And he goes on to say, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. As we examine ourselves with the Lord's Supper and participate in it being the body and the blood of Christ, so we are to examine ourselves as we sing and speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. If we don't do that, what are we doing to ourselves? We're not wise in the way that we're doing things. And not being wise, we find ourselves, as he says there, some are weak among you. And as we find ourselves doing that, we do not glorify God. We do not put light upon the Lord and his body and his church. We do not put light upon them at all to see that this is a wonderful way to live, a wonderful way to teach, a wonderful way to do. And this not being done as we should is not a good thing to be done. Think about it as we do this particular matter, because this is serious with the Lord. As these songs this morning reflected, I love to sing the old story. I love to sing the work of His Jesus and His love. I love to do. Do I love to do it? Do I love to sing the song in harmony with others about it? That's the only time that I ever sing, is when I sing with others about it. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Where do you say this speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs be done? Now we know that speaking to yourself will be involved with other people around you, about you. And sometimes there would be meetings and gathering times that they would do, just as the early church did, the meeting in early church time, a participating of the Lord's Supper. And a bread and the fruit of the vine would be partaken by them as they did that. As they examine themselves, so let them eat of this. So as we ate of that, we found ourselves thinking about the Lord's body and thinking about the Lord's blood, and the emphasis of it is great. And it brings within us a reminder of what Jesus did for each of us. Just like this good card is a reminder to us
of good deeds done, good thoughts that are done, good ideas by someone who's very appreciative that it occurred over the last few weeks of time. Think about how we live. And as we live that way, it may be the case that we need to remind ourselves of what John wrote to us in regard to how to get rid of our daily walks of sin. In 1 John chapter 1, in reference to this matter, he tells us in this regard how we're to live and how we're to do. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I don't have any sin this morning to confess. I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to do. That's foolishness on my part. What about you thinking about it? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Notice in this regard, if we confess our sins, if we're serious about that, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And not only that, but also to cleanse us from all acts of unrighteousness. There are a lot of acts of unrighteousness that we thought about that got us into doing and missing the mark, got us into sin. And when we got into those particular thoughts and ideas, we were perpetrating a plan, a way of life, a deed that is being done, a word that's being said that is sinful and wrong. What do I need to confess to God? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May not have said it yet, may not have done it yet, but the Lord represents our confession to him and cleanses us from all unrighteousness as well as forgives our sin. And as he does that, he's glad to do it because it shows that we are sincere people wanting to, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 3 and 23, we want to praise God and glorify God in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Where else do you hear a message like this? Wherein do you hear a story of a topic like this? Where would it be? If it never happened, what would be done? What would be done to us? We'd never know the importance of taking the Lord's Supper in a correct way, examining ourselves and not being weak about bread through the vine. We'd never think about how much our words in the song that we sing speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It never reached heaven. We don't think about it. And what will we do with our sins? What will we do with the unrighteous conduct on our part that leads us into sin? We'd still be doing it, practicing it. Don't have any fear about that. It was a judgment of God. I don't have any concern about that. I'd be okay. Well, that's what you might think and you might be saying, but is that what God said? Is that what he said to John? He said, confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What if I never confess them? It's not a matter of confessing at a church service in a public way. A lot of sins are done on our part, just to individuals in just individual ways. especially to God. So first we make it right with the Lord. Then we make it right with somebody that we may have written off in the vulgar words that have been used. May God bless you with the study that we did today and the ideas of it. I hope that it was a benefit to your soul and life in our relationships with God in the church, giving glory to Him for the teaching that He gave us. Let's stand together as we sing 228. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but His. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where He waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. Good to be with you each one this morning, and I've enjoyed very much seeing you and talking with you. Would you turn with me to the closing song, number 198? I'm bound for the promised land. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Brother Bill, close us in prayer, please.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us this beautiful day to gather here, to sing songs of praises, to gather around Your Son's table. And Father, to worship You, we pray in spirit and in truth. Thanking You, Father, for the blessings of this day and for the blessings of this life, for we realize, Father, that all blessings come from You. Thank You for the sermon that we received today. Help us, Father, to be encouraged to live a sinless life. May we be encouraged to help those that are around about us. Help us to be encouraged to do Your will. Father, we again pray for those that are sick, of our families, of our friends, of the church. Father, we pray that You will administer blessings unto them that they can reach their normal walks in this life. Father, we realize that we need to work for you every day, that we need you in our lives every day. And Father, we pray that we will live toward that end. Watch over and care for us, Father. Forgive us of our sins. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I do not like the Buccaneers.